there. Ruby Ryder here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 210 on July 31st, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you would like to support my efforts to deconstruct the myths and misconceptions around pegging and offer accurate information to all who seek it, head on over to Patreon and become a patron of my work. All patrons have access to the podcast a day early, as well as a 24/7 chat channel full of pegging practitioners from all over the world. Rewards for the various levels of support include written and audio erotica to excite and inspire. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider, or you can click the Support My Work button on my website. Another way to support my work is through, of course, enticeme.com, the little black dress of pleasure products. Entice Me offers a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys for your enjoyment. Go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and for 15% off of your entire purchase, use the coupon code RIDER, that's R-Y-D-E-R. If you'd like assistance figuring out which pegging equipment is the best choice for you, I offer free equipment phone consultations for customers of Entice Me. You'll be supporting my efforts to change hearts and minds about pegging. So let's do a patron update after all that.
Yes.
Patron Glenn for $5 a month. Glenn, thank you so much for your pledge and your generosity. I really appreciate your support. What is Glenn going to get? Glenn is going to get the podcast a day early, the 24/7 chat channel, all of the written erotica that I have so far, which is over 70 stories, and all of the audio stories that I have recorded as well. Glenn has all kinds of stuff to play with there. Thank you, Glenn. Really appreciate it. Okay, so the next thing I want to do is tell you about some new forum categories. In fact, what I'm going to do is, and this is the forum that's on my website, and I know it's not ideal, it's a little clunky, but there's some cool stuff happening there, and I just wanted you to know in case you wanted to take part. Let me tell you what categories are in the forum, because it's possible one might grab you, and you could head on over there and contribute. Okay, so I'm just going to go down the line and read all of the categories. Of course, the one at the top is a guide to using the forum. That has helpful information about how it works, what it is, what it isn't, and that kind of cool stuff. And then the next one is an introduction thread. If you'd like, you can introduce yourself and say hello to everybody. And then after that is safety and keeping clean, then equipment, sensual pegging, kinky pegging, bisexuality and pegging, followed by orgasms, relationships, cross-dressing receivers. Now, let me explain that one a little bit. This is part of the reason I wanted to read you all of these categories, is because somebody suggested that I have a place where the cross-dressing receivers, who really enjoy dressing up and looking feminine and are in touch with their feminine side and just want to get all dolled up to get pegged, have a place to share pictures, talk about where they shop, stuff like that. And let's see, the description of it says, "This is the place for all of you panty lovers, sissy sluts, and bottom boys to post your pics and talk about clothes, makeup, etc., cross-dressing in all its glory." So cross-dressing receivers. After that, pegging and psychology, followed by size kings. And then two who are similar post sensual pegging clips here. Ho ho. So you can put links to your favorite pegging clips. Porn, basically, okay? Porn. Followed by post-kinky pegging clips here. Followed by erotica. And this is a place for everybody who likes to write stories to post their stories up. Please feel free. It's, pegging stories, go for it. There's some pretty cool ones in there. And then followed by personal ads, which, The personal ads don't usually do a whole lot, but you gotta have a place to do it, then there's your place to do it. And then the last two are toy makers, any of you aspiring toy makers. So that's a place where the toy makers can get together and talk about all kinds of stuff. And last but not least is the catch-all, called Everything Else. Hopefully, I have enough categories to where I've kind of encompassed everything. I just added a few. I added the Size Kings, because I think that needed a different category. And by suggestion of one of my readers, I added the Sissy Slut, the cross-dressing receivers. Yay! So there you guys go. If you are inspired to participate in the forum, please do. That is what is there. And also I wanted to let you know that there is a guy on the forum who I read a couple of his things on the podcast. And somebody on the forum said, oh man, these are the stories that got that comment. I can't wait to hear more of your escapades, right? So he started a thread and he's just going to tell his story about things that he and his partner do. And they're cool to read. They're hot to read, I got to tell you. So that is something you can find on the forum as well. Let me check and see where that is, because, you know, I don't want you looking all over the forum and going, where the hell is that guy's thread? I want to read it. Hold on and let me find it for you. Okay, I looked and I found it. It's always kind of funny to go, hold on, and then I press the pause button, right? And you guys are like, okay, whatever. So this is under the category Kinky Pegging, and the name of the thread is Getting Our Freak On, and this guy's name is Chris71. So yes, go there and enjoy. If you like written stories about cool things that actually happened, imagine that, right? Yeah, it's pretty hot on Chris's thread there. Enjoy. And I'll put a link to that in the Linkorama just for you guys. Just for you. All right, moving right along. Let's get to the letters. This is actually a toy review. This is pretty cool. And the subject line of the email is Anal Toys. Someone suggested that I look at the B-Vibe Snug line. Before I spent big money on one of these, I bought an inexpensive toy with a similar design. What I wound up with looks like a ball on a thin stem. It fits easily, and the narrow shaft allows it to stay in place. After a couple of sessions, I was able to wear it outside the house and retain it for several hours without too much discomfort. The B-Vibe comes in four sizes, numbered from 1, the smallest, to 4, fucking huge. I, being the butt slut that I am, went for the big one. The best way to describe the B-Vibes is to imagine a torpedo on a stick with a handle to make removal easy and to prevent loss inside the rectum. The 4 is about 2 inches in diameter and has an insertable length of 5.25 inches. The shaft is a mere 4-inch diameter. So I have to stop in the middle of reading this and correct the measurements. The number 4 is actually 1.7 inches in diameter. It does have an insertable length of 5.25 inches, but the shaft is 1.7 in diameter. What he meant when he said 4-inch diameter, I'm quite sure he meant 4-inch circumference. Okay, now let me continue on. It is weighted and comes in at about 9 ounces. It is made of high-quality silicone and is body-safe. The weights are 2 balls inside the torpedo that are supposed to move around a bit. When I received the toy, I put a modest amount of lube on it and worked it in my greedy ass. Once in, it felt great. I walked around for 3 hours, semi-erect, with constant pressure on my prostate. I was constantly aware of the weight and size filling my rear. Sitting on a firm chair reminded my prostate that it was still there. Finally, after several hours of pressure, I had to remove my new friend. I wanted to see how long I could wear it, but my body said, enough. My goal is for a full day of wear and to go to work with a secret up my bum. This is one of the most comfortable and best-built butt plugs I have ever seen. It is perfect for guys and gals that want something that will stay put and constantly remind you that it is there. So that is his comment about the snug plugs. They do come in the 4 different sizes, And yeah, you know, I looked at the design of it again with a description of the torpedo thing in mind. And yeah, you know, it kind of does look like a torpedo, sort of. The magic in the design of these, I have to say, is that the neck of them is fairly long. And this is something that somebody pointed out to me who wrote in several podcasts ago, and I do not have their name or the podcast number at the tip of my tongue. However, one of the things they pointed out is someone not being able to keep a plug in is sometimes a product of too short of a neck. It's two things. It's the length of the neck and the differential between the neck and the plug. So this is ideal for people who have trouble keeping plugs in and do large toy play and have really relaxed asses, if you will, because the neck is long, the differential is big, and everything I've heard from people who have that issue say that the snug plugs work really, really well. I had a lovely playmate come over the other day, and I used the number 2, which was a gift from Alicia, who owns B-Vibe. I crossed paths with her at a show. And he actually has a bit of a tight ass. In other words, the sphincter tends to be tight. His ass is a bit shy. It needs a little bit of romancing. But I told him, I said, you know, we're not going to do anything else until this goes in your ass. And he dealt with it, and he managed to open up and allow me to put that plug in, and was, from what he said, quite comfortable with it for about an hour while he gave me a massage and had the butt plug in there. And I asked him, so how's it feel? Can you like forget about it being there? And he goes, oh no, it is right there. And he had erections that came and went when he concentrated on my massage a fair amount. Sometimes the erection went away. This guy doesn't have trouble holding it in. He has trouble allowing that initial sphincter to open. So this is another type of user who might do really well with it, because since he has that tight sphincter, it allows it to go back down to a smaller size while the butt plug is in. So it's not as uncomfortable. It doesn't stretch it as much while the plug is in. So that was part of the thing that I think he enjoyed very much as well. And then I also really, really enjoyed the stuff we did after, but I'm not going to go into detail about that. The massage was quite good, and the plug was in there. So B-Vibe Snug Plugs. I'm going to put the link for that in the Linkorama clearly. Thank you so much, sir, for writing in and letting us know that it really worked for you. Okay, what do we have next? Next, we have Pegging Celebration Time. Hey, Ruby, huge fan of your podcast and you in general. Aw, you have helped me so much in many different ways. My story started with my girlfriend using a finger while giving me a blowjob one night, and that changed my world. I have never felt anything like that before. Shortly after, when doing a little research, it didn't take long for someone to recommend your famous podcast. I think number 112, is it? Since then, I've listened to hours and hours of your podcasts every day, driving to and from work. I could normally catch an episode a day for the longest time. I tried sending the podcast to my girlfriend one day, and she flipped on me, went off, and swore she would never do it. It was gay, and she couldn't believe I even thought about it. I could still get her to use her finger once in a blue moon. Here, a couple months ago, we went on vacation to the beach, happened to go in a sex store. I kept hanging around the dildos and strap-on, and she tried to stay away, but finally said, I'm not wearing one of those. With a little bit of convincing and maybe begging, I got her to agree to use a strapless one. She didn't want to wear a harness. We had a whole lot of fun after we got a whole bottle of tequila down. So here this last weekend, I bought another bottle of tequila. which we don't drink a whole lot, hoping we might get to do it again. We drank the whole fifth once again and had a great night. The problem is that toy is a little too big in thickness, so now she's open to getting a harness, but she likes the fact that the strapless one goes inside her and makes her feel good. I've searched for harnesses that have something to go in her as well, but we've only found a couple options, and they've been super ugly. She wants something more on the sexy side, but it has to have something to go inside her. The toy we have was like $40 or $50, and it's just like the one they sell on Adam and Eve if you look up strapless dildo that's pink. I was just wondering, do you have any recommendations on a harness I could get for us? And again, just want to thank you so much, Ruby. You really have changed so many lives all over the world. Maybe I could have the music played for me? I never would have thought she would have agreed to do this with me, so I'm just so excited about it all and really can't wait to find the right harness for us. Thanks again. And this is from Jordan. Jordan, congratulations. Happy for you, dude. Totally happy for you. So I'm a little confused. Well, first of all, let me comment on how it all went down. Sometimes with a little social lubrication of alcohol, sometimes that helps. I am glad that it went well, because if you have too much alcohol, it can go badly. So I'm definitely glad that it went well, and now she seems kind of down. So here's my confusion. You have a strapless. You know from listening to my podcast, I'm quite sure that strapless toys are not really strapless, and that you will need a harness for that, which you talk about. However, you talk about the harness having something that goes in her. Let me go over to Adam Eve and see what I can find. Okay, so the one that I found, which I'm quite sure is the one that you have, has measurements of 6 inches insertable and 1.5 inches in diameter. So I'm not really sure whether that measurement is the head or the shaft, because it's built like a penis with a pronounced head. I suspect that since you find it a little bit too big, that the shaft is the 1.5, and then maybe the head's a little bigger. It's impossible to tell because they don't really list the measurements. And besides, you said it was kind of like the one on Adam and Eve, but if you got it on Amazon, it might not be quite the same. Anyway, the reason for all of this discussion about measurements is because the Fuse Tango, which I think is the very best double out there, has a 1 3/8 measurement. And 1 3/8 is a really nice beginner size. It's just a tiny bit more than the 1 1/4 that I recommend. And I know it doesn't sound like a whole lot more than the 1.5 inch, but like I said, I don't know what the measurement is because I'm not really sure what toy you have. So you might want to just take a tape measure to that sucker and figure it out, because I really do recommend the Fuse Tango for a whole bunch of reasons, but it does sound like it is thinner. There is not as pronounced of a head as the toy picture that I found on Adam and Eve of the pink one, so the differential between the shaft and the head is not going to be much. So 1 3/8 is not a bad starter size. It's just a tiny bit bigger than I would recommend for most people. So if you want to get that toy, that would be the best one out there. It still certainly goes in her because it's a double. And then if you pair that up with the WeVibe Tango, she'll have clitoral vibrations the best out there as well, because that's the best vibe and it's also the best double. Now, if you don't want to buy a new toy and you just want to stick with that one, then you mentioned it's a little too big for you. You do have a choice of doing some self-play with that toy and trying to get your ass more accommodating to it, get it more used to it. Doubles, interestingly enough, are a really good toy to do self-play with, because the bulb that usually goes in her provides a really good handle to hold on to. So if you were to do a number of sessions on your own with that toy and get used to the diameter of it, you could keep that toy if that's what you want to do. I mean, you know, it's not that good of a toy, but I get it if you want to keep it, if it feels good inside her. But it also needs to feel good inside you. Now, I couldn't help but notice that you said the toy that you have is a little too big for you, and the first play stuff that you did with it was all drunken type of stuff. I could not help but notice that, sir. So, it's quite possible that there was not sufficient foreplay done. It's quite possible that the finesse and subtlety that I would love to see in a good pegging session was absent because you guys were kind of trashed with alcohol. And I'm not being critical, I'm just making an observation. So that is a possibility that not sufficient foreplay was done to pave the way for this toy and that it might be perfectly suitable. This is a two separate item thing. There is a toy and there is a harness. So if she wants something that is really pretty and sexy, there's all kinds of options. The ones that I think that are the sexiest are the spare parts harnesses that have the attached garters, and then those garter attachments are detachable, but they're really cute little panties with lace and shoring up the butt, and they hold the toy pretty well. They can hold a double. The other one is, which is very, very sexy, is the yummy Aslan leather minx, which has the corset back and is just sexier than hell. So those are my top two choices for sexy harnesses. I'll put the links for those in the Linkorama. But feel free to peruse all of the Aslan harness choices as well as all of the spare parts harnesses. Spare parts are fabric. Aslan is Aslan leather, like the title says. So that's harness advice. Because the only other option I have for you would be more of clitoral stimulation as opposed to G-spot stimulation and something that goes inside her. So if she's, this is like the eternal question I talk about on the podcast all the time. If she's a G-spot orgasm type of woman, then she needs something inside her. If the G-spot is an integral part of her orgasm, or if just she likes to have it in there. But if she's more of a clitoral orgasm type of woman, then you could choose the Flare Base singles made by Fuse, which have really, really good clitoral stimulation via a really good vibe. And then the vibe for any of those toys, be it the double or the singles, would be the WeVibe Tango. So the one that you have probably has a really weak-ass little bullet in it if it's the one that I found on Adam and Eve, but you don't mention the vibrations at all. So see, I still have questions. These are all the different possibilities. That's the best advice I have for you with the information you provided me. So if you would like to send in more information and get more detailed, please do. Otherwise, I hope you find a solution amongst the ones I offered and enjoy lots and lots and lots of totally awesome pegging. Congratulations that she's on board. You guys have nothing but fun ahead of you in the pegging world. Ha ha. And thanks for sharing your story. I was very happy to play the music for you. Okay, here is another email. This one's really interesting. The subject line said, answer to how many men and women fantasize about giving and receiving anal sex. So you guys have heard me talk about statistics and things before. There's a lot of people that are very curious about how many people do this, how many people fantasize about it, what are the percentages? And I always say, I don't know. There's really not a lot of studies that have been done on stuff like this. And unfortunately, sometimes what ends up happening is that there's no differentiation about anal sex. Okay, receiving from who, you know, that kind of thing. So this person was kind enough to write in with some information in this regard that he found in a book that he just got. This is a book by Dr. Justin Lehmiller, L-E-H, Miller, okay, Lehmiller. Author of the blog Sex and Psychology and renowned social psychologist, just published a book called Tell Me What You Want, where he writes about the results of the biggest U.S. survey about sexual fantasies. So here's the deal. He asked over 4,000 Americans what they fantasized about and how often they do so, as well as many other parameters. So he's currently reading the book, and he stumbled upon some lines of pegging that he was so kind as to share. I would encourage you all to go get the book, first of all, but let me tell you what he had to share here. Let's see. And he did say, I'm pretty sure you and all the other listeners to this podcast might find it very interesting to finally hear what science can offer about this topic. Let's see. One thing beforehand about this study, while the author managed to survey people of almost all age groups, religious affiliations, genders, and sexual orientations, he points out at the beginning that it is not 100% representative of the whole U.S. population, since conservative people tend to be underrepresented in almost all sex surveys. Take this data with a small pinch of salt and maybe add some lemon and tequila if you're into that. And then he goes on to say, let's see, he decided to sort of transcribe some parts of the book, chapter 2, The Seven Most Common Sexual Fantasies in America. And this is the third one, which was novelty, adventure, and variety. Playing sex games and sexual role-playing were other common ways people fantasized about adding variety, but perhaps the most popular, reported by 85% of participants, was using sex toys. BDSM props, such as blindfolds and handcuffs, were the toys most commonly mentioned in people's favorite fantasies, followed by strap-on dildos. Bitchin'! Some may be surprised to learn that many women, gay, straight, and bisexual, said they had fantasized about wearing a strap-on and giving anal sex to someone else, while a lot of men, heterosexual and bisexual, said they had fantasized about receiving anal sex from a woman with a strap-on. This activity is known colloquially as pegging, and there's sometimes a BDSM component to it, as you can see in the following fantasy submitted by a woman in her 20s who identified as sexually fluid. Quote, "Currently one of my biggest sexual fantasies revolves around pegging. To be more specific, pegging a very masculine male. I find the idea of engaging in sexual activity with a masculine, large, muscular, submissive male to be very hot." End quote. Who, you and me together, honey. Okay, to go on. Why is pegging so popular? Part of the appeal is probably that it's a novelty in the sense that it goes against traditional gender roles, placing women in a dominant position and men in a submissive position. However, there's a bit more to it than that. Of course, the fact that it's taboo may make it appealing to some, but there's a biological explanation too. Anal sex can stimulate the male prostate gland, sometimes referred to as the P-spot, which many men find results in very powerful and intense orgasms. And then it says a bit later, he goes on to say, however, one especially fascinating thing from this table is the striking similarity between men and women with regard to fantasies about receiving anal sex. Nearly two-thirds of each sex had fantasized about this before. Considering that my sample was predominantly heterosexual, 72%, this tells us that a lot of straight guys seem to be getting off on the idea of pegging and presumably P-spot orgasms. Of course, because I did not ask about who they wanted to receive anal sex from, some might interpret these results as a sign that some straight guys might not be quite as straight as they claim to be. And the part of the table that he mentioned is all right here in this email. And the categories are, this is giving anal sex with a penis or a strap-on, so you can answer it as either gender. And it's like never, seldom, sometimes, often. For men, 19% said never, they fantasize about giving anal sex with their penis or a strap-on. I suppose you could have that be both ways with the guys. Seldom, 18.8%, sometimes, 25.3%, and often, 36.9%. So yeah, the anal thing is big with the guys. Now, giving anal sex with a penis or a strap-on for women, never, 60.4%, seldom, 20.3%, sometimes, 12.3%, and often, 7%. Oh, I'm in the 7%. Now, we go to the category of receiving anal sex, okay? Men have fantasies about receiving anal sex. Never, 41.9%, seldom 20.6%, sometimes 18.1%, and often 19.5%. So I see what he's doing here is taking the seldom, sometimes, and often and putting them together to get his claim of 2/3. Yes, gotcha. Yeah, because 41%. So, and then let's follow that up with the stats for the women. For the women, fantasizing about receiving anal sex, never 38.9, seldom 19.3, sometimes 22.7, and often 19.2. So those are remarkably similar. They really are. That's pretty interesting. And then the letter writer goes on to say, as the author mentioned, these numbers are a bit skewed if you want to specifically look for data around pegging, because the gender of the receiving slash giving person is not specified. So some women might want to anally penetrate other women, and some men might want only to be penetrated by other men. 72% of all participants he surveyed were heterosexual, as he said, but he did not mention the ratios for the different genders separatively. I hope this satisfies some of the data-hungry nerds out there, and wish everyone a happy pegging. Greetings from Germany, Brian. Brian, wow, thank you for sharing that. It's just so cool to see research, to see statistics, to look at studies, to look at numbers, because this is so rarely studied, so rarely studied. I mean, the most I've ever seen is men who fantasize about receiving anal sex, but like you said exactly, they don't specify from who. So this is the same thing that's happened here. There was the study, which I believe is still ongoing, that I announced a while back that a woman's doing for her doctorate, is it? I believe that if you have not participated in yet, if you are a heterosexual identified male, she would like you to participate. And I think it's still ongoing. And I'm quite sure if it's not still ongoing, the link won't work. But I will post that in the Linkorama once again for anyone who kind of missed that podcast and would like to participate in a survey. Because the more information we have about pegging, the happier Ruby Ryder is going to be. Brian, thank you so much for sharing all that. That's a totally cool, awesome thing you did. I hope I don't get sued because I read from the book. I don't think so. But please go out and buy the book. Here, I'll say it again. It is Justin Lehmiller, Dr. Justin Lehmiller, and the book is called Tell Me What You Want. Boom. Which ought to be a really interesting read. 4,000 Americans, what they fantasize about and how often they do so, as well as many other parameters. So yes, go buy the book. That way Dr. Lehmiller can't complain that I read it on my podcast. Okay, here we go. The next email. My boyfriend surprised me with his desire for pegging. I was totally naive, but he had me listen to podcast number 112. It enlightened me and actually caused me to get excited about trying this new type of sex with him. My question is, what is the best strap-on to use as a beginner? Any advice would be helpful. Thanks. And she signs it BA. So BA, here is the deal. There is no one-size-fits-all. Here's the deal. I don't know how much experience your boyfriend has had, so I don't know if he needs a beginning size dildo or perhaps a little bit of a bigger one. I don't know whether if he came home with a dildo that looked really realistic, you might freak out. Or maybe if you came home with one that looked really realistic, he might freak out. This is just a small sampling of all of the details that you do need to consider before you buy equipment. You are in the ideal situation of the beginning. Here you are, and you're excited about it, and it's awesome. So here's what you do. You go listen to podcast number 102, and you get a pen and paper out, because you're going to be taking a few notes here and there. And you can feel free to listen to that together. I highly recommend it. Stop it now and again, and check in with each other about, so do you want that realistic dildo, or do you not? This kind of thing. So there are so many different things to consider, and some of the things to consider involve a little play. Like, for example, you do need to determine how sensitive of a prostate your boyfriend has. This requires you to do some finger exploration, which is really fun. And I describe how to do that and figure out how sensitive the prostate is, because you can get the perfectly wrong dildo if you're not careful. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's really, really not. You might get something that might work, but wouldn't you rather get something that works awesome the first time and you don't have to change toys? Because toys can be expensive. So, listen to podcast 102. That's going to be in the Linkorama, the link for that podcast. And then get back to me and tell me what you guys have decided, and I will direct you to the proper place. And like I mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, I will be happy to do a phone consultation with you if you want to shop at Entice Me. If you're more budget-minded and need to find the cheapest price you can for the cool toys, I totally get that too. So whatever way works, but I'm happy to help. But there is no one-size-fits-all. There is no, this is the best beginning equipment because everybody's different. And just as an example, before I sign off here, body shape makes a huge difference. If you're both big, beautiful people, you're going to want a longer toy. You're going to want a totally different toy than you would if you're not and you're slender. So see what I mean? So many decisions to make. Oh my God. Okay, so there you have it. I look forward to hearing from you after you listen to podcast number 102. All right, here's the next email. The subject line said, not pegging, but fits in with het male role switch. Ooh, this ought to be good. Hi, Ruby. I just had a wonderful experience I wanted to share. Alas, no anal play was involved, but I thought it fit in with discussion of role reversal and being a receiver rather than always a penetrator. I hired a boudoir photographer to shoot naked pictures of myself. Now, there are tons of photographers who shoot lady boudoir photos, but even in New York City, it was hard to find someone to do the shoot. I was vibing Goldilocks and needed to find the one that was just right. It turned out a photographer whose work I knew through the burlesque scene, all ladies in the burlesque, had also shot for Playgirl. Fast forward, meeting, discussing my interest, and the shoot all went well. But that is not why I'm writing. The results were such a boost to my ego and made me feel so sexy. I think the need to feel sexy is a new thing for cishet males of the 21st century. Maybe I am mishearing what your other listeners are saying when they want their mistress to tend to them or dress up pretty. And yes, getting fucked by your wife or partner with a strap-on is a big part, too. There is a big world of new things to explore once you accept that the male stereotype of strong and silent doesn't work anymore. Or is that ever? Big fan, and he signs it P. So I'm gathering from your message you are male who and you love to do the dressing up and the feeling pretty and all of that kind of stuff. So you were doing like lady boudoir photography, which is beautiful. I love that idea. And it sounds like you really did get a good person to do the photography. That part sounds amazing. I totally agree with you that as men begin to realize that there's a balance inside them between the male and the female, it's kind of like this. It's like men are majoring in masculine and minoring in feminine. And women are majoring in feminine and minoring in masculine. If you totally reject that other part of yourself that you need to be minoring in, it's not a good thing. And it's a beautiful, enriching, what are some other words? It's like it feels like you're completing yourself when you embrace that other part of yourself as well, rather than rejecting it because that's what society says that you're supposed to do. So I wholeheartedly support and encourage men who have found their feminine side. I refer to this podcast so often, but I did a two-part interview with Mark the Marine. Mark the Marine is very in touch with his feminine side. Mark wears panties all the time, if he can, under his clothes. He is an active U.S. Marine. He goes and gets mani-pedis. He hangs out with his girlfriends. He thinks it's very important to embrace that part of yourself that calls out to you. And many of my listeners, readers, fans, what have you, have mentioned that they just wanted to feel pretty. That is something that Mark said in the podcast. I just like to feel pretty. In fact, he was talking about one of his favorite positions to get pegged, and he said reverse cowboy. And he likes to call it cowgirl because he likes feeling like a girl. And he likes that position because it makes him feel pretty. It's amazing, and I love it, and I support it, and I can't say enough positive things about it. So I think you're right on. Let me read it again. I think the need to feel sexy is a new thing for cishet males of the 21st century. I totally agree. And I have a Facebook friend who often posts all of these amazing things of men wearing skirts and dresses and kilts and things and high heels and stuff like that, which, again, I totally support and encourage and absolutely love the idea of this. I would like to see more gender fluidity in dress. I would like to see there not be this huge division and the delineation between what is considered masculine and feminine. If you want to look pretty, put something on that makes you look pretty. Another part of this is being with a partner, if you are heterosexual, who appreciates that prettiness instead of rejecting it. So that's a huge part. That part involves vulnerability on the male's part that is dressing up and wants to look sexy and pretty. Absolutely. I do recall hearing that before from someone else, one of the other podcasts or letters that I got, about how amazing it was to feel beautiful, to hear his partner say he looked beautiful. Yes, that is such an amazing transition, considering what society has dealt us. That's the best way I can say that. So yes. Oh, thank you for sending that in. That got a whole little monologue from me. Okay, let's move on to the next email. Let's see. The subject line of this said, Fuse Tango Advice. Dear Ruby, can you please help us? We are thinking about getting the Fuse Tango double for pegging, but are worried that it may not work for, quote, doggy style position. It just looks like the shape of it would only work face to face. What do you think? Would you recommend this toy to do it from behind? Thank you. I would absolutely recommend that toy to do it from behind. I have used that toy to do it from behind. So here's the deal with the Tango. There are other doubles out there that are much more rigid in the connection that goes between the bulb that goes inside you and then the dildo part that goes inside him. When that connection is really rigid, like with the Fieldo or the Realdos, that limits positions, and you are right on in seeing that that could be an issue. So that is not the issue with the Fuse Tango, because they made it just right. They made that connection quite flexible. Now, if you are kind of trying to target, if you will, your boyfriend's prostate, then yes, laying on his back would be the perfect position for that, because it's going to be pressing up against that prostate. And doggy style, what might help in that position is to have him, as opposed to on his hands and knees, lay down and have you lay on top of him. Because when you do that, picture this and stay with me if you can. So he's laying down, right? He can either have his legs closed or open, and yours can be in the opposite position. I think it's easier to start with if his legs are open and you're between his. So you lay down on top of him and insert the toy and lay down on top of him. Now, if you want to try and change the angle of that toy, whether it's the Fuse Tango or any strap-on dildo that you have, all you need to do is scoot up a little bit towards his head. And if you can imagine that, you know, his hole is going to stay in the same place. So you scooting up a little bit will change the angle of the toy as you go in and out to make it go more up and down. You know, it's going to change the angle so that it targets that prostate better, because the prostate is towards the belly button, right? And a little bit goes a long way with this. If you scoot too far up, the toy's going to pop out really quick. So just know that as well. But that's one of the things that you can do with the Tango as well. Is that going to make any difference with your boyfriend? It's quite possible that he has a sensitive enough prostate to where it's going to send him to the moon no matter what, and you don't need to do that special, you know, scoot forward and try and target the prostate thing. But yes, it works totally fine for doggy. Absolutely. I don't do a lot of doggy because my legs are really long. But yeah, the toy's perfect for that, absolutely. So thank you for the question. Let me see here. This is a comment on an article that I put up on Pegging 101. This was an article that I put together for a Kinky Sex Tips blog fest back in September 2017. Mona Darling had this on her website, and she did like a sex tips thing, and we all participated and stuff. She had prizes that she gave out and everything. The name of the article is called Getting Down to the Bottom of Things with Pegging, right? And it just basically goes through all of the things, the like beginner stuff, like what pegging is and what pegging isn't. And it's quite succinct in the answers. And I wanted to direct people there. I was reminded that I wrote this because this person wrote in and commented and left this lovely comment. Let me read you that part. Glad I found this article. I've been a huge fan of pegging since the late 80s, way before Dan Savage's readership defined the act as pegging. I'm a man, just to be clear. You're absolutely right. Pegging will not make you gay or is a gay act, the woman-man dynamic. I'm bisexual and a total bottom, and my partner, female, gets off just as much as I do. It's definitely the power dynamic shift and role reversal that makes it hot. Thanks again. This article goes a long way to confronting the terrible misconceptions around this thoroughly enjoyable kink. Haha, that's awesome. So, I read the article again and I went, wow, this is a really good article. I kind of wrote it and submitted it and did the Blogfest thing and it was really cool and sort of forgot. So I think what I'm going to do is hook that up to newbie information because it's a really good first article for people to read. And thank you for commenting on this, sir, and reminding me of this article. I will have a link to that article in the Linkorama for everyone who's interested in checking it out. Okay, here's the next email. So what do we have now? We have another pegging celebration time. This is a happy podcast. So the title of this said, finally, Ruby, play the music. You've done it again. Your podcast has changed the world one ass at a time. It's been a long journey. We've learned a ton, and we now have sex in such a new and amazing way. My wife and I have been married for 16 years, and I've been in the military for 18 years. The entire adventure started a couple of months before we got married. I was living alone, stationed far away, and I was a really horny 20-year-old. My alone time started to involve more and more self-anal play and led me to getting my first butt plug. It was one of my super deep, dark secrets. So much so that I threw it away when I got married so she wouldn't find it. A couple years into our marriage, I told her that I wanted to try a butt plug, and to my surprise, she was all for it. Fast forward 12 years of marriage, 2 kids, 5 household moves, and I wanted more. My self-play progressed to larger toys and better orgasms, most of which I kept from my wife. After a long trip to a faraway land and some significant self-reflection, I came back and told my wife everything I had been hiding, and asked her if strap-on play was on the table. To my wonderful surprise, she said yes. That's when your podcast and some good research on your website came in. We ended up with a great spare parts harness and a Vixen dildo. Unfortunately, the excitement didn't last long. We tried once, and she wasn't very thrilled. Seemed to clam up after and not talk about it. We went back to very vanilla sex for a couple of months. Finally came podcast 112. She listened, we talked, and she fucked me. We've had 2 really good sessions with another promised for this weekend. And then this is in quotes. What works for us? We usually make love in the morning. It's just our time. I wake up early on pegging days to prepare. After I'm all clean and showered, I come back to bed. We cuddle for a while, and I massage her entire body, ending with as much attention to her lady bits as she can handle. She jumps my bones, and we make love, PIV, until she is completely satisfied. That's when she straps on and the real fun starts. I ride on her cowboy style until the pre-cum is pouring from me. Then she gets her choice of positions, and they are all welcome in my book. She controls the fuck then, doesn't even let me touch myself. She handles that. After our most recent session last weekend, she confessed she enjoyed it. not to the extent she would be able to orgasm from it, but the sexual energy and especially the sounds I make. She got a huge grin on her face and said, being on top of me, me on my back, legs in the air, gave her an awesome feeling of power. Thank you, Ruby, for your professional and open talk about pegging. We love it. And the journey you helped us take continues to be amazing. Oh my goodness, congratulations. That is so, so cool. The very best line in this entire letter that you wrote, sir, is, she listened, we talked, and she fucked me. Is that like the very best thing to recommend podcast number 112 or what? And you guys, you know, I've talked about how 112 happened. I wanted to write something that would address all those fears and misconceptions from the giver's point of view. I was going to have it be a book, and I was going to sell it on Amazon for like $5 or whatever. And then all of a sudden I was getting ready to do a podcast, and I thought, you know what, this just really needs to be a podcast. And I had the outline, I had it almost all written, so it came out really smoothly because I had all of the different stuff right there to talk about. And I'm just really proud of it, and more than being proud of it, I'm so happy that it has helped so many people. Because this is what happens so many times. She listened, we talked, and she fucked me. The talking has to happen. The podcast is a catalyst for the talking, so that you don't have to bring up each and every one of those super scary conversations. So I am really, really happy for you guys. And I'm happy that she's starting to embrace it. I also love hearing the part about women talking about, and you know, after a while, I really started getting into it because it's like they own it. They own running the fuck. They own, ooh, I got you to do this, and look at these sounds that you're making, and you never make those sounds, and I never get to see those looks on your face. Yeah, absolutely. That's like owning running the fuck. That is so cool. So congratulations. I was happy to play the music for you, and I appreciate you sharing your story. Okay, this last thing I have for you is a comment on the article called Approaching Her About Pegging. This is on my Pegging 101 website. Hi there. I've been trying to get my wife to peg me randomly throughout the last 5 years while we are intimate. My wife seemed very hesitant at the beginning, but we have done pegging and ass play. My problem is that we will go months of no pegging and very little ass play to do it one or two times in a week and then nothing for months. We have had many conversations about our sex life and what we both want, but it seems like she says one thing and does the opposite. She has said she will do most things, but then when I ask her or take out the toys, she comes up with an excuse for it not to happen. I am really effing confused. I like the effing confused. I'm not happy that you're effing confused, sir, but I had to laugh at that. I am really effing confused. Got it. And I can totally understand why you would be. So this is one of those situations, and it's going to sound a little funny, but this is one of those situations where I really think that if your wife has not listened to podcast number 112, it would be an excellent idea for her to listen to it. Partly because the way that she is making excuses and that kind of thing indicates to me that there's a part of it that she is not comfortable with. And I can't tell you what that might be, because only she knows that. And it's only going to come out if you guys talk about it. So the catalyst to this conversation is having her listen to podcast number 112, because that's going to lead her through all the different possibilities. And even if it's not a situation where she has fears or misconceptions and concerns about doing the pegging with you, it's a really good thing to listen to anyway, to sort of lay a foundation and help her understand why it is you want this so much and why it's an intensely difficult thing for men to ask for. And so, yeah, I get that frustration with you because it's so hard to ask for it to begin with, and then to like not have somebody be, you know, really responsive to it and to have there be more difficulty, that can be intensely frustrating. Okay, so that's the first thing, is listen to podcast number 112. So other possibilities that I can think of are, is your side of the street clean? Do you help around the house? Do you try and make her life easy for her? Do you please her as much sexually as she can handle? Do you rock her world as much as you can in bed? You got to make your side of the street clean, and then she will be much more motivated to give to you. So that is a possibility as well. Now, one of the things that I also thought is, and I think this is included in 112. I haven't listened to 112 in a long, long time, you guys, but it might not be. So I'll go ahead and talk about it anyway. Is there's a fear of some women that once they fuck a guy this way, that that is the way he's always want to get fucked forever and ever, and he's never going to want to put his dick in her pussy again, and blah, 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 right? So that might be a fear that you're going to get sort of addicted to it. So in that kind of a situation, what I really suggest for couples to do is to schedule it. It sounds really unsexy, and I say this every time. However, it's a really helpful thing to do because pegging requires that you clean out. It requires preparation. So if you two talk and say, okay, so what I really want is I want to be pegged twice a month or whatever frequency you two agree to, please be careful when you have that conversation with her that you are not trying to talk her into more often. Start off with what she is comfortable with. And if that's once a month, then do once a month for a while and say, okay, I'll do it once a month for 3 months. And then at the 3 month point, we're going to renegotiate because I'd like to have it a little bit more often than that. Is there anything that you would like a little bit more often than that? Is there any way that I can please you that I haven't been doing enough of and that you want to ask for more of? So you got to get the equality thing happening in here. But what that will do, that scheduling, is it will let you relax so that it's not like every time you work up enough courage to ask for it and she's like, oh, I don't feel like it today, you know. That disappointment is huge and it's not an easy thing to deal with. And on her side of it, she might be going, Jesus, I just want the penis and vagina thing. I want the regular sex. I don't want to do this strap-on thing all the time. And that might be mixed in with fears about you getting addicted to it, about, you know, there being some bisexual component and all those different misconceptions and things that are on podcast number 112. So, see, this can get a little complicated, but it's certainly workable. You guys are already doing it. You just have to talk about how often and when. So, yes, that will let you know that you don't have to work up your courage to ask her because it's scheduled. It's every other Wednesday or something like that, right? And that way she can relax when you guys do sexy times because it's like, oh, it's not the every other Wednesday, so we're just going to have sex. And he's not going to ask me to do the strap-on thing, so I can relax too. It's like fucking magic, I swear to God. It's amazing, and it just requires a little bit more communication between the two of you to make this work. So that, Mr. Effin' Confused, is what I would recommend. And sit and listen to podcast number 112 with her. Stop it once in a while. Have conversations if there's something that comes up. Do this as a couple. And like I say, clean up your side of the street if there's anything to clean up. Rock her world. Make her happy. Happy, happy spouse is one that wants to make her husband happy. So there you go. Good luck to you, sir. Please let us know how it goes. I hope you get fucked a lot more. Yes, I do. I do. Thank you for writing in. I hope it all works out. All right, we're going to leave it there. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com. I have blog, podcast, my erotica, and the forum there. Also, pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink for you people who don't want that kinky pegging shit. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page, and you never know what I'm going to be doing in all those places. Some of them get a little political, though, I'll warn you. If you order some new toys from enticeme.com, remember to use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of everything. Send your questions to Ruby at peggingparadise.com. No question is too wild, too wanton, or too wicked. Wanton and wicked, boy, listen to my mood. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, and a lot of times I learn too. So don't be shy. Please send those questions to me, throw them in my mailbox, or call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging.